Today on the Retro Zoo Super Show, we face down the war machines of General Balsaga.
Live from Kakariko Village. Throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the internet, the Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Now here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
And this is the Retro Zoo Super Show, and I am one of your hosts, Kai.
And I'm Steven.
Steven, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. So, we are doing a topic that you care about, which is exciting.
I am excited.
So, I'm hoping to kind of waste a bunch of time
Not talking about it
like we normally do. No, we're going to get into this because while during this broader series, we will almost certainly have to talk about a game that you enjoy that you have brought up on multiple occasions.
That's why I'm excited that we're starting into this particular genre, actually.
Candy Crush.
Oh, wait. This can't be. You've lied to me again.
So, yeah. But before we start, you know, as always, we are produced by Drum. Drum, how are you doing?
I am functioning normally.
That is really good news.
That a boy.
All right. So a little bit of housekeeping getting out of the way is that we're going to have an announcement at the end of the episode. We're not going to put it up front for those of you who are here for the topic about the future of the show and where we are going from here. And there are going to be a few changes. And so we do hope that you'll stick around and listen to that. In the meantime, though, we are going to kind of do more a broader topic on a particular genre of game. And as I mentioned before, it's mobile puzzle games.
Mobile puzzle games. That is not what we discussed either. Candy Crush, mobile puzzle games.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Well, we're going to talk about the infamous RTS, aka real-time strategy, aka best style of gameplay ever created, aka the style that also is looking to be in its death throes, unfortunately, currently.
Wait, what?
No, I don't know if I did tell you. I read this article recently about.
Oh, you this. Like. You sent me, like, not even joking, you sent me, like, two articles and a very long YouTube video in about a 5-minute period of time. And I did not get to all of that.
I'm sorry to say this. I'm a little bipolar. And so when I get excited about something, that's way too excited. And it's the bi part. And then I guess the polar part is the, you know, sometimes I get sad, or I don't know how those diseases work. But anyway, I get really excited about topics sometimes. And I think I've also told you this because it was probably one of the links that I sent you, but I'm planning on going to DreamHack in Dallas I think I'm going to travel through an Ethernet cable to try to maybe get to a router somehow to travel there, because since I am a ethereal being stuck inside a Super Nintendo, I might try to possess an avatar. I haven't worked that out yet. I think
ethereal is the right term.
Metaethereal? I don't know.
I'm not pretty sure it's just electronic.
Yeah, well, I'm just a bunch of protons and neutrons and neutrinos dancing around the Heisenberg compensator. But basically, I want to get to this DreamHack in Dallas, and I found out recently that in one of the articles I sent to you was discussion about, I guess, Blizzard has handed over the reins for their eSport wing to ESL, which famously does Counter-Strike, and it's an eSport circuit that has many different titles under its belt, but they are also teaming up with DreamHack. So the StarCraft circuit has entered in
StarCraft.
Three-year contract with it's exciting with ESL and DreamHack. And so I found out that Dallas will host the first American version of this. And you know, as you know, as the listener may know, I've been visiting DreamHack's. I missed this last year, but I've been going to them ever since they came to the States a few years ago. And so they're really great conventions. It's a big giant LAN party, but anyway, there will be some professional StarCraft going on there in a circuit format, and with a prize pool of I believe the prize pools have increased. So I think the first place winner takes like 50 G's or something. So it's a notable tournament, and it's also exciting for StarCraft in that, you know, as I've opened with this, there's been a lot of chatter about real-time strategy being dead. And it's interesting because, and I guess this ties into our topic a little bit, because, you know, real-time strategies have a very long history, and the game we're talking about today is, you know, seems to be one of the first in that beautiful chain of events. But there was a lot of diversity in the real-time strategy world. We saw that in Command & Conquer and Warcraft and some of these, you know, these titles that pretty much everybody who's gamed at all knows about.
Yeah.
You know, culminating really, and this is the weird, sad part, is culminating really in StarCraft and StarCraft 2. Well, ultimately in StarCraft 2, there really hasn't been a lot of other RTSs that have been successful, because it's kind of one of those genres where you do a good job of it and you don't really need others. There's just, or either that, or there hasn't been a lot of, people haven't focused on them because other genres have come up and have become more popular, or have just overshadowed them in general, like the first person shooter. And actually the MOBA, I think, is probably the death of the RTS, because originally the MOBA was a custom scenario in StarCraft or Warcraft 3, I can't remember, where they basically, it was, you know, castle defense or whatever, tower defense, you know, where you're running lanes, and basically that's what all MOBAs are now, is lane running, real-time strategy games with teammates. And so I basically played a form of that when I used to play custom games in StarCraft, the original StarCraft. But now the MOBAs have just, because I think of the cooperative play, and it's less skill-based, there's not as many moves per minute, and there's just, the strategy is still there, but it's very cooperative, whereas traditionally real-time strategies have been like chess, like one versus one. And I think that's why StarCraft is, it really is kind of carved its place as probably the premier one versus one real-time strategy game, if not the most premier one versus one game in general, because that's what strategy games lend themselves to, is one versus one. But so that's very appealing to me still, but I think players in general are moving towards like cooperative play, except I guess in the case of the survival games, which are first person shooters like Team Fortress and, you know, Battlefield, you know, PUBG or whatever. So where it's kind of back to one versus one, but it's a totally different style of play. It's, you know, all first person shooting. But I don't know, there's something really inspiring to me about real-time strategy games, but it's like, where is the genre going? Like, we haven't seen a lot of development in it. This article I sent you was a PC Gamer article where the guy, he's definitely, you could tell he's not really an esports player. He's more of a campaign player, and he's interested in that aspect of it, which I think a lot of people are. You know, they don't, especially if we're talking about retro games, most retro gamers were single players, you know, so it's a, right. You know, so you're not getting a lot of that kind of intrigue. And this guy seems like the article that was written was kind of coming from a perspective of this guy isn't out there doing a lot of competitive play, which is cool, because I think that's how real-time strategy started, was just this at home playing the campaigns, and that was the meat of the game until really StarCraft, which introduced this whole other aspect. I think StarCraft was one of the ones that blew it up, of the multiplayer aspect and bringing it online and actually creating it into one of the first successful esports. Anyway, right, yeah. So this all had an origin. All these games have an origin story, and I think it's important that we talk about it, not just from the retro gaming aspect, but for like as a message to the future. Like, hey, let's not lose this beautiful genre. Like, what is the beauty of this genre? Like, how is it being lost, and how can we reclaim it? How can we inspire people? And it makes sense to talk about the roots. You know, where did this come from?
And so that is going to be our topic for today is Herzog Zwei.
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 Zwei. Okay, Zwei. I'll go with Zwei. Did you click the little microphone button?
I actually asked our a mutual friend of ours who knows some German, and he was very confused by all of it, and I'm like, look, the English in the game is not that good either, much less the German.
So we're depending on a Japanese person writing German.
It seems like it. So you know, the title of it is actually pretty witty, because it took me a while to figure out that this is actually a sequel to a game.
Oh man.
Because you know, no one knows what, you know, unless you speak German or look it up, what Herzog Zwei means. We're kind of getting to the importance of this game eventually, but I want to bring up his original game, because this was like Herzog was an MSX game from 88, and it was a real time tactical game. And so, you know, like there were a lot of real time games going on, obviously, you know, since the dawn of computer games, there's like these real time games, and there's a lot of real time tactics games. And
what do you mean by real time? Like, how do we even define that?
As opposed to turn based. Right. Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
And so I wanted to bring up Herzog, which is German for like a duke, and okay. Because these are like science fiction games, and the plot of the game, and like they do a whole bunch of setup for these plots for a game that has no plot, and it's the same thing with Herzog's Y. In this game, it's like this character named President Hughes of the Republic of Mercies is assassinated, and the Ruth Liberation Army, which is a terrorist organization that takes responsibility, and there's this war that breaks out between Mercies and Ruth. I don't know why they called this Liberation Army Ruth. The leader is not Ruth. The leader is Roger Tense. But it's maybe, like these maybe, evil maybe this evil Ruth group of people. Ruth.
maybe they meant to put Ruthless, and that just didn't fit into some of the dialogue actually, boxes.
Actually, that's not a bad theory at all. So this comes out, and so it comes time for the sequel, and Herzog Zwei is German for two. So this is just Duke Two. But the game comes up with this like ridiculous reason that is called this. And it's part of like the backstory. Like this game has two pages of backstory, again, for a game that has zero plot in it. It's the whole. So, all right. So now we're in the Aria Republic, and it was free. It's this free planet, whatever. But the military commanders decided to take over. And so this one commander, Herzog Eins, or Supreme Commander One, or Duke One, it takes over. And one of his generals, Ludwig, is your character. And like Ludwig is like sitting there like fondly remembering the freedom of the old ways. Yeah. And he's like, screw this, I'm gonna take it over. And so he like gathers an army and starts in. And so he is now going up against General Balsaga, who is the leader of Herzog
Vinegar.
Right. He's the leader of Herzog Eins' forces. Mm. And he's been ordered to, you know, go take out these pesky rebels. And so that sets up the battlefield. And so this is where the dumbest explanation of this title comes in ever. At the end of the backstory part, it says, only one high commander can succeed. Will it be you? Can you overpower the enemy? Can you save the world? Can you become Supreme Commander 2? Herzog Zwei? It's like, why would you call yourself that?
Supreme Commander number 2.
Right. I mean, this is like, all of the leaders of this nation are going to just start numbering themselves. You know? Oh, I'm 11. Yes. Yes.
You can call
Herzog 11.
But, you know, that just shows the strength of a dynasty if you have like the 11th or the 12th or the 13th or the 14th.
It's just a title and a number. It's not even like Herzog Bob Zweig, right?
Well, I don't know. I'm understanding it, I feel like. I mean, look, it's simple. It's straightforward. It's almost too simple. But if you're going to try to communicate a story through a parallel universe, I mean, this happened in another universe, this whole story. It's like, it's catchy. And we're going to remember it because of its simplicity. I mean, we're talking about it. So I don't know. That might be a little far-fetched. But I mean, I believe in an infinite number of alternate realities. And as soon as you mention a backstory, like, this is one that I'll remember. Herzog Zwei. This is how he transmitted his story.
Right.
Across dimensions.
Okay, well, this came out on Genesis in Japan in late 89 in North America in 1990, and also in Europe in 1990. And it didn't actually sell remarkably well. It wasn't marketed very well, and it just didn't sell very well. When it first came out, Electronic Gaming gave it 4 stars out of 10.
Ouch. That's a failing grade.
Yeah. And this happens especially in North America. I feel like when things that are new and actually revolutionary come out, I don't think that we are very quick to recognize it.
I believe this. I think it's actually a fundamental characteristic of human nature.
Yeah, yeah. And what was I looking at the other day? Now I'm going to blank it was a movie that is remembered as just this incredibly great and important film, and it like
the Big Lebowski.
the critics hated it, you know, originally, and now everybody, you know, now the critics are like, oh, I see what it was, you know, but You know, it's like one of these things. It's like we could not see at the moment that this was the birth of something, and that this would go on to influence some of the greatest games that's ever been made. And I hadn't even heard of this game, but I got to play it some, and I got just destroyed in this game. Like, this was like a really hard game.
Yeah.
And I was playing game A. So like what you do is you actually pick your map. You can pick whatever map we want to start on. And you just kind of whittle away at the map, but then you choose game A, B, C, or D. And I was getting just crushed, in game A. And I was reading the instruction manual, but the instruction manual is not really all that helpful. A lot of it is just playing it and learning. I was like, oh, okay, no, that was the wrong move. And, oh, okay, I see what you need to do here. And, I was also playing it with my style of RTSs, which is always the wrong way. Very, very defensively.
Yeah.
And in this game, that is definitely the wrong way. You cannot play defense on this game. You have to be pressing all the time. And so the computer was just destroying me. And I was looking it up. And I'm like, okay, is there some kind of difficulty setting? And I look, and it's like, there actually is a difficulty setting. And it's that game A, B, C, or D thing. A was the easy one.
Oh, okay.
And I was getting demolished. And so I watched some videos of these people who were just owning the game, and I was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on. And then I went back and I lost again, but I did much better. This also has the distinction. You were mentioning multiplayer on RTSs. This is multi. I mean, it's not over the internet, but it's a two-player game. It's really? split screen RTS.
Oh, wow.
Which is really, really, I watched some gameplay of it. It's really cool. And so there's a lot going on in this game. And when we get back from the break, we're going to delve a little bit into it. But before we go to the break, this isn't the announcement about this show, but this is the announcement about a show that's coming up, because over the break, I want to play the song that we did for a new show coming out that's both audio and visual. And,
yes.
And so we're going to play the theme song over the break, but really, really quickly, we with our friends have been playing and recording a role playing game, you know, tabletop role playing game of Star Wars Edge of the Empire, and we've been having a blast with it. We have been recording it, and so we're putting those together in audio form. And so they're going to be coming. The podcast version is going to be launched in the next few weeks, and I'll keep you updated on that. But this weekend, if you are listening to this when this comes out, this weekend on Sunday night, we're actually going to stream one of our adventures, and we're going to keep doing it both on the Twitch channel at twitch.com/technofunkboy. And also we're going to start putting them out in the podcast form. And so, please head over to twitch.com/technofunkboy and subscribe. That way you can be notified, when we're going live. We've been having an absolute blast with this game. I think it's darn right hilarious. It's definitely more of a humorous game than a serious game.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I don't know what else to say. Like, I'm a player in it, and Kai is the keeper or the DM or whatever it's called in this game.
Wait, you've been playing Call of Cthulhu way too much for Call of the Keeper.
The Keeper. And it's just been a blast. You know, my brother plays in it, and it's and a good friends of ours play in it. That
Rave is playing in it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just in it's an all-star cast, I believe. And we all have good chemistry, and man, I'm excited about it. I haven't listened to the edited version, the podcast version yet, but that's what I'm going to do first thing tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump over to break so we don't take too long with it, but check out Perfect. The song. I think I have a lot of fun. I think the song was really
fun. It's an awesome song.
So, all right, we will be right back. Okay, we're back. So there was one thing that I was reading that I thought was very interesting. And when I was playing it on Twitch tonight, the game on Twitch tonight, Rave actually brought this up too, that this looks as much to be like a MOBA than it is an RTS.
Well, MOBAs and RTSs are very similar.
Right, but
a MOBA is a more focused RTS. It's like it cuts out part of what real-time strategy generally have. Some of the components, like resource management and stuff like that, and gets more to the fighting and to the action.
Right. And this game really is like a blend of the two. So with the real-time strategy games that we think of, it's like we are looking over the board, moving all the pieces. But with Herzog's Y, you are playing a character in this game, and your character can play as a jet and can also land and turn into like this giant mech robot, and it can fire guns and stuff like that.
I just have to say real quick. Mm-hmm. StarCraft definitely utilized, like, paid homage to that with the Viking, a unit that is a jet that can turn into a mech.
Oh, nice. So, that's awesome.
Which also comes from, what's the anime where they use the Macross or Macross is a variable fighter, I guess is what it's called.
Mm. Yeah. Like a Transformer.
Pretty much.
Yeah. this thing is like, you can land and you can take out, you know, the enemy, stuff and try to shoot down the other player also has one of these things, but you also have to manage your army. And so you use your limited resource in this is money. Now you don't go and like mine for gold or anything like that. It's a timer increase of of money. And so you have to use this to build different units. But then you have to give a mission to your unit. You have your base, and there are also a bunch of neutral bases, and you can go capture those neutral bases. And to do that, you have to send four of your soldiers inside of one. But then you have to give that soldier a mission. It's like, okay, I'm creating a soldier, and I want you to go occupy a base. And then it will run on a timer to create that soldier. In your jet form, you can pick up the soldier and drop him wherever you want to. And then wherever you drop him, he is going to try to accomplish his mission. So you can say, I want you to go after neutral and unoccupied bases. I want you to go after the enemy base. I want you to go back against the enemy main base. I want you to patrol this area or whatever the case may be. And so you're constantly trying to set up defenses while pushing forward and getting these bases. Now, the bases are really important because your jet has limited fuel, and you refuel by hovering over the base. But on the biggest map, you cannot get across the map without refueling.
Yeah, I watched some gameplay of a guy trying to fly across them, and it was the first time he played it, and he couldn't figure out why his little jet was kept exploding and returning to base.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you have to refuel every time you go back.
Right. So you can make little soldier guys, you can make tanks, you can make supply trucks, because your tanks and your men will run out of ammo. And so you can resupply them. I never had that problem because all of my characters died before they ran out of ammo, which is great. You can also do the surface to air, vehicles, or you can do stationary missiles, which are really good against the enemy character. And so those are really expensive, but if you can get those set up defensively, then the enemy character can't get there. And the enemy character is really, really dangerous. You know, you as a character, you can't cause damage to the base directly, but you can wipe out enemy units fairly quickly. And so if you can swoop in and kind of clear a path for your tanks to go in, that's really good thing. Meanwhile, all of this is happening very, very quickly. You know, it's like I started playing Galactic Battlegrounds, a Star Wars game, and we're going to play together for a future episode of this series.
Yes.
And it's like everything goes very slow. You know, these characters move very slowly.
Right.
In this game, everything is so fast, and you have to react. You know, you have to be creating something. You have to be doing something with your character, and you have to be keeping an eye on the enemy all at the same time, and they will just pop. You know, it's like the enemy, like when you're off into a corner, the enemy will just start dropping tanks right in front of your base, and all of a sudden you get an alarm and you're hauling over there trying to keep up. It is very, very quick. Game that's one of the things I struggled with was just how fast this thing goes. And I don't mean like time wise. I mean, like a match can last a while. I was streaming for an hour and I did three matches. So, and I'd lost very quickly. So they were running about 20 minutes each.
Wow.
And one dude I watched, played the entire game. And it took him 6 hours. For an action game like in this era, 6 hours of gameplay when you know what you're doing and you win every time is incredibly long game.
Yeah. So you played for 6 hours?
Right. To get through the entire game, to beat all of the matches.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a huge game for for this era for that that I say that type of game. I mean, this is the game that's like blazing this new path and doing it really, really well. Even though I was like not playing well at all, and I was just sitting there the whole time going, man, if Steven were playing this, he would be demolishing me.
No, don't say that. Yeah.
it's like even though I was getting demolished, I was still having a blast with it and trying to keep up with everything. And it's a high tension, fast paced game that's just, it's a lot of fun. And we don't normally see that in groundbreaking games that are trying something new. A lot of times they're not fun. You know, it's like that. Yeah, this game is important, but it sucks. Right. Yeah.
Right. Right. No, that's a unique attribute, because I really feel like, but I mean it makes sense though. I mean, if this is the game that inspired, you know, so many other great games, then
right,
they had to do something right. And it's cool because a lot of RTSs and even MOBAs now, I mean, are really fast moving, and they work towards making them really fast moving because it's better for viewership actually as well.
Well, you say that. I cannot. There's so much movement in StarCraft. I don't have the foggiest clue what's going on.
But I mean, I think it would be as simple as you doing what you did for Herzog.
Yes. Zwie. Well, that's true, because like I mean, my first game on this, and I did put it up on Twitch. If somebody wants to watch the VOD on that, then I kept pausing it, going, I don't, what's going on, you know? That's one of the problems with the game, and this is, I don't want to say this is a problem with the era. There's no in-game tutorial. Now that's definitely a product of the era. We did not do in-game tutorials back then.
Right.
But the learning curve is very steep. You know, it's like, you know, you pull, I'm sure StarCraft, there's a story mode, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. It's awesome. Actually, it's really good.
Yeah. It's like that with Warcraft. It's like, you know, they put you, the first mission they give you is like planting some, you know, plants. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, you succeeded. Now try to beat up somebody, you know? And the first levels, you're not going to die in. They're there to teach you all the different mechanics. This right. one, I mean, the easiest map with the easiest enemy, it just wiped me out so quickly. And there's that learning curve, and like the manual is not a lot of help with it. It's not a very well written manual, and so the learning curve is very, very steep. Now, that being said, after I'd played for about an hour, I was starting to feel competent with it, and figuring out, you know, like what I need to do and stuff. I still lost that game, but I felt good. And so that is one of the problems with the game, but it can be overcome. And honestly, you know, the way we played games back in 1990, it's like we kind of expected that we were going to suck for a few hours. You know,
right.
And you just kept banging your head against the wall until it made sense. This happened in a lot of games, and this was just kind of a thing in that era of gaming. There was no hand-holding. It was pretty abrupt. One of the problems is like the jet feels really good. Like the controls are very smooth. They're, you know, like the way the ship moves is very, very cool.
It looks like one of those air pucks on an air hockey table.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great analogy. Yeah. It's like it moves very quickly and very naturally. And the way it takes corners and stuff is very, very cool. The mech. Oh my gosh. The mech sucks. And that's a huge problem with this game. It is so easy on the ground because there's so many little nitpicky little obstacles that, you know, you end up like, I mean, there's several times that I was like, I was walking into a rock and I couldn't figure out how I couldn't move. And meanwhile, you know, the bad guys were shooting through bases and stuff. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And if you are close to it, anywhere close to another sprite on that screen, you cannot transform between mech and jet. And really? when I say close, I mean, there can be space between you and it, the game will just won't let you. And that's, it's kind of crummy. It's like you can manipulate, like some of the gameplay I saw, you can manipulate that to get the enemy jet kind of trapped and not able to do anything. And that seems to be how to win, is just to manipulate the enemy's AI into getting them stuck and obsessed with something, which is kind of interesting.
Well, that's how it works. And even in StarCraft with AI, is like, you, I think bad AI, I mean, it's just not bad AI, but it's like most AI, that it's easy to figure out. I mean, and I think it's part of our human instinct. It's like easy to figure out, like, what can I do that's going to make this AI, like, you know, you basically, like, if you're getting attacked and you still have a building that's working to be completed that will produce a unit that will win you the game, a good player knows that that's happening and will go for the kill. But the AI will come into your base and you'll be like, I just need like a few more seconds to get this building complete so I can start producing this other unit that will win me the game. And so you take another force and you distract, you know, you basically come over here, follow me over here,
right,
you know, like throwing rocks at them as you're walking away, you know, so they follow you. And so,
and that seems to be the case here, is like you can figure out that the enemy AI is starting to get obsessed with a certain base on a certain map. And right. And you just set up crazy defenses on that base, and the rest of your bases are just going to be left alone. And, you know, so you just kind of walk over to the victory. And so I'd be very interested to play this two-player just to see to see how that's like.
You got it on Twitch?
I streamed. I streamed what I had on Twitch.
I mean, how did you get it?
Oh, I have an original Genesis with the original game. I just bought
That's right. I forgot.
Oh, it's an emulator. I know. I put it on an emulator. So Legacy, though, is the reason we came across this game is because we were going to do this series on RTSs, and everybody kind of pointed to this game as the first real RTS. And what kind of distinguishes that between a real-time strategy game and a real-time tactics game, which had been done before several times, is that the resource management and the creation of things, in this case units and stuff, it's not that you're just moving the pieces of your army, but you're creating the army on the way, which distinguishes it and kind of turns the tide of the trend of this game style toward what would be coming out very, very quickly after this, which is Dune 2, which it sold much better, but also kind of laid the foundation of Warcraft, Command and Conquer, StarCraft, and so on. And this game was listed as an influence on all of those games.
Yeah, I was seeing that, and I'm not surprised. I mean, it definitely has a lot of the... You could see it. I mean, and that's what's so interesting about it, is like you watch this game and being played, and it's hard not to see the influence. And so it's like, if Herzog Zwei hadn't been created, would there have ever been real-time strategy? You know?
Right, yeah.
Would it ever have happened? I don't know.
Yeah. And this is one of those landmark occasions, where, you know, somebody gets an idea that kind of tilts things in a different direction and creates, you know, kind of a genre. And, you know, these are things that still have an impact today. You know, it's like, I mean, that was the point of the original Metal Gear game. It's like, Yeah. Hey, instead of shooting, why don't we sneak? You know? And that seems like an obvious thing, but it's obvious to us because we have so many stealth games.
Right.
But that wasn't obvious right. at the time. You know?
Right.
When Super Mario Brothers came out and invented the platformer, essentially, you know, it's like this, oh, this seems so natural, but it wasn't. And it took somebody to go, well, what if we do it this way? And Herzog's Why is that game, you know, that, that, you know, it doesn't sell very well, but it lands in the hands of the right people who are looking at it going, oh, wait, this is something new. This is something cool. And that spawns off, you know, Dune 2 and then Warcraft and so on and so forth down the line.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the legacy is definitely there. I mean, and I don't know, man, it's really exciting because it's exciting to see the roots of it and to see the game being played and to think that, you know, the creators of these pillars of RTSs, you know, were probably playing that game. That's probably where it came from. So
right.
It's really cool.
So, yeah. So, Herzog's Why is it turned out to be really, really fun, and I was very glad to have run across it. So we will continue down the road of RTS's a ways. I'd really rather not do StarCraft, if you don't mind.
That's fine, dude. I'm actually not a really big fan of StarCraft anymore.
But before we go, we are going to have a little bit of a format change. And this is, you know, the point of this is to kind of try to even out the episodes a little bit where, I kind of felt like there was episodes that we put a ton of time and planning in and episodes we didn't. And there's also episodes that like, you know, we had planned a certain way and then, you know, like, work got crazy for you and you couldn't make it. And so, it's like, you know, having to change things on the fly or shift gears and do something different and stuff like that. And we want to kind of even that out where, all of our episodes are going to get the attention that we want them to have. And so to that end, we're actually going to be doing two separate things. The first one is kind of the main show. And that's what this is. This episode is. And we're going to be covering a topic and, we're going to have the same kind of fun that we normally have and, probably take some calls along the way, probably have some news and that sort of thing. And those are going to be every other week. And then the weeks in between, we're going to have, smaller, more stripped down episodes that are going to tie into the main show topic. So next week, we are going to be tackling the music from Herzog's Zwei. And, cause the soundtrack is fantastic. And so we're going to cover that. It's, oh gosh, it's so cool. But it's going to be more of a, just a straightforward, you know, show, that we're confident and committed to still making fun and good. It's just going to be, you know, kind of a little bit of a different format. Does that make sense? Did I make sense in all of that?
No, it does. It's going to be like if you eat chocolate cake one day and the next day you don't eat chocolate cake, but you still want chocolate, you might open your box of chocolates and just take a chocolate out.
Right. Yes. Yes. And so, you know, this sprung out of a conversation that we had that like we felt like, we weren't putting the time in research in playing these games that we wanted to. And so it felt like that each episode was not as fully, looked into, research, whatever, as it should have been. And so this was a kind of a way to solve that while still getting episodes out every week, because this is something I didn't want to turn it into every other week, show. I have a lot of fun doing this, and I know, Stephen, you do too.
Yes.
And so, so we're going to be much more consistent. The plan right now is to, on the big shows, to expect Stephen every week, every time, not every week, every time. And a lot of the I don't want to call them smaller shows because they probably still will be very long, but the off week shows will mostly be me talking about music, playing some songs from the thing, or talking about some aspect of the game that I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, that'll be awesome, dude, and I'll look forward to. To catching, to listening in on those episodes if I can't make it. And if I can, a bonus.
Bonus. Yeah. All right. So with that, we do appreciate you listening in. If you do enjoy the show, please do consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/technofunkboy. That is one of the goals for the year is that we're specifically trying to hit $30 a month, which isn't ridiculous. It's like, if half of you, started doing the bottom tier of $1, that would easily cover that amount. $30 a month that covers all of our costs related to the show. And so it allows us to, at very least break even as we produce the show. And so please do consider that. That helps us out a lot. If you're enjoying the show and you just can't swing that, that's totally cool. We totally understand that. And, you could help us out a lot by rating and reviewing us on iTunes or whatever podcast catcher you use. Or sharing the episode on social media to let your friends know that this is you enjoy listening to the podcast and that they would enjoy it as well.
Yeah, spread the word.
Yeah. So with that, we will sign off and we will see you next time.
Retro Zoo Super Show is brought to you by the Technopunk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Technopunk Boy, on Facebook at the Technopunk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technopunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and gameplay clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. Unless you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can gain